When low interest rates hide big financial problems in Europe. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. Markets in Europe are calmer this morning as financial players digest the news that a big bank in Portugal, Banco Espírito Santo, was allegedly hiding big problems on its books. For why worries about Europe's financial future have come back from the dead, I want to turn to Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets UK. Good morning, Mr. Hewson.
Good morning.
Now, sorry to ask you to revisit bad memories here, but why were market players so unsettled by a Portuguese bank running into trouble?
Well, it's market memory, David. I think you may recall 2 years ago, Mario Draghi, president of the ECB, announced that he would do whatever it takes to preserve the euro. In that process, what we've seen is equity markets go higher, and bond yields that were at really elevated levels in countries like Greece, Portugal, Italy and Spain come down quite substantially. And this crisis in Portugal, it's a wake-up call that investors who basically were thinking there's no risk involved in putting our money in sovereign debt, well, actually, there is.
Now, investors and traders this morning seem to have regained some of their footing, though.
They do. I mean, we've had a number of statements out from the Portuguese authorities that the Banco Espírito Santo is solvent and it's more than able to get over this crisis. But I always work on the basis, never believe anything until it's officially denied. They said something along those lines for Bear Stearns, for Royal Bank of Scotland, for Northern Rock. What I would say is that Portuguese authorities do have enough money to potentially bail out Espírito Santo. We're talking about something in the region of $2 billion here. They've still got €6 billion worth from their Troika bailout, which they could use to get us over this, what I would call, little pothole. But nevertheless, it's still a reminder that Europe hasn't sorted its banking sector out.
Michael Hewson at CMC Markets UK, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now let's check those markets live now. The 100-share index in London is up 0.2%, so is the DAX in Frankfurt. The key stock index in Portugal is rebounding some, up 2% now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. We're following reports of what could become a big merger in big tobacco. The Financial Times and Bloomberg News are reporting this morning that Reynolds American and Lorillard are close to a complicated deal to join forces with the blessing of a big shareholder, British American Tobacco. Smoking remains a $90 billion industry in the U.S. alone. U.S. antitrust regulators will be watching, although tobacco critics may note that the public interest here may be murky. Less competition could drive up cigarette prices, which might have beneficial public health effects. Altria would still be the biggest of tobacco companies. With the World Cup final this weekend, we should take some time here to explore a group of soccer players who are often ignored, women players globally. The BBC's Julia Carneiro heads to a competitive soccer match, or football as they call it in Brazil, on a small field that was set up in a park in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro.
Players here are all teenagers, but have learned to cope with prejudice from a young age.
It's hard for women because men say we can't play, that football is for men. But I don't care, I keep playing.
Brazil may be the land of football, but it still is a sexist society. And until 1979, women were banned from playing football. American player Caitlin Fisher created the Guerreiras Project to inspire young girls here to join the sport. Guerreiras means fighters. When Caitlin started playing in Brazil 10 years ago, her teammates told her that's what you had to be to play football here as a woman.
It was very surprising not only hearing my teammates' stories, but also living it and breathing it. Realizing that we weren't allowed to use the Santos Fields, the Vila Belmiro, the stadium. We couldn't use the buses. We couldn't wash our laundry in the laundromat. We had to wash our uniforms by hand. We wore the men's old uniforms. So all of this, and I'm going, but it's Santos. We're the same team. And this is Pele's club.
It looks nothing like the perfectly manicured pitch at the famous Maracanã Stadium. These girls are training on uneven grass with some patches of sand in the middle of the field, next to one of Rio's busiest highways in Caxias, in the suburbs of the city. This is where they train 3 times a week for one of Brazil's biggest clubs, Vasco.
Vasco is one of the few clubs that invested in women's football in the past decade. But still, Coach Jorge Barcelos says investments pale in comparison to men's football.
You invest in a 13-year-old boy and soon he's getting sold for $2 million. Female football is nowhere near that level, so the clubs don't take an interest.
The female players in Vasco get a small monthly allowance to help them with meals and travel. A lot less support than the male teams, says 16-year-old Beatriz Santos Garrido.
I want to play football my whole life, but I want to make a living out of it, and that won't happen in Brazil. I dream of being an example to others and that someone will look up to me and say, I want to be like you.
Brazil's women footballers may be talented, but they are still a long way from becoming national icons on the scale of Neymar.
The BBC's Julia Carneiro reporting from Brazil there. And before we go, they are odd bedfellows when it comes to politics, but not when it comes to living in the penthouse suite of the tippy top of the 1% income bracket. And apparently, the following three big shots share views on immigration reform: Berkshire Hathaway tycoon Warren Buffett, tech pioneer Bill Gates, and real estate magnate Sheldon Adelson have a joint op-ed piece in today's New York Times telling Congress to get it together and deal with immigration reform. Quote, the three of us vary in our politics and would differ also in our preferences on immigration reform, but the trio writes, we could without a doubt come together to draft a bill acceptable to each. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.